And I'm increasingly aware that, in fact, three talks isn't very much, and there are many aspects of prayer which I shan't be able to say much about. And some of those aspects are aspects I'm most fond of talking about with prayer. For instance, I'm not going to say much about praise. I say something tonight, but not because I don't consider it important. Indeed, sometimes I've given a whole talk on praise here. But because I think it's probably better to sort of touch perhaps on aspects of prayer which we haven't talked about here before. And for the same reason, I shan't be talking at all about praying for healing, because you've heard me talk about that in the past. Now then, for people who weren't here last week, just very briefly to say what we did. We talked about Jesus and his life of prayer, the example of his prayer and his teaching on it, and something about the prayer in the life of the New Testament church. We talked about the Eucharist, the Mass, saying that Jesus in the Eucharist should be the center of our prayer life for Catholics, the central importance of the Eucharist. We talked about the divine office, and how many people are being helped by saying morning office or evening office or other parts of the divine office. We talked about the Psalms and the advantages of learning some of the Psalms by heart and other scriptures. We talked about informal prayer in groups, whether it's a prayer group like this or a smaller group, or praying in the family, or just two or three friends meeting together to pray. We talked very much about the importance of personal prayer alone with the Lord and the need to give enough time to it and to get our priorities in time and energy right in life. And I suggested that if most of us had got our priorities right, 1 hour or more would be possible each day, although I know that's not possible for everybody. And we talked about the need for commitment in prayer. It's no good just sort of I pray when I feel like it, but we've really got to be committed and pray whether we feel like it or not. Well, that's where we were last week. I want to say just a bit more. Remember, I really laid quite a lot of stress, didn't I, on the importance of giving enough time to prayer, and regular time. And I want to say this, that when we give sufficient time to prayer, which is normally more time for most of us, we find not only does our activity gain more in quality than it loses in quality, because it's so much more filled with the Spirit, so to speak, but in fact our activity doesn't lose in quantity because it's so much more Spirit-led, and so we're saved from going up blind alleys. And so we really need to step out in faith and really set aside time for prayer and be really sort of loyal to that and obedient to that time, except when they're really urgent calls. And that when we do that, when we step out in faith and do that, we find that our whole Christian life tends to be increasingly blessed. I thought about, I was saying that most people, if they got their priorities right, could spend at least 1 hour a day. I talked about one member of our prayer group who's with a full-time job, who sometimes spends 4 hours a day in prayer plus Mass. I'm aware that people for whom prayer is a rather new thing, perhaps new converts or people who are fairly new in coming to prayer, to start off straight away with an hour would be too much. So they may need to start with a quarter of an hour and then increase that to half an hour, and then other circumstances permitting, 3/4 of an hour and beyond. And of course I am aware that, you know, if you're a mother with 6 children, you won't be able to put all that time aside for quiet prayer alone. I mean, although I live in a monastery, I don't live entirely in cloud cuckoo land. Now, some people make an objection to this sort of putting aside time for prayer in this way. They say, but I pray when I'm doing other things. I pray when I do the ironing or other odd moments. I pray when I feel like it, and surely that's enough. And I think the main answer to that is that in practice, for most people, if we only pray when we feel like it, if we only pray in the odd moments without some regular framework, we don't in fact do much praying at all. We might like to think that we'd pray when we feel like it fairly often, but if we don't set aside times for prayer only, then we shan't in practice, most of us, do much praying at other times. Now Jesus said, pray always. Pray continually. We read that in Luke chapter 18. He certainly didn't mean by that saying prayers all the time, but more moving towards living continually in the presence of God. But I'll be talking about that a bit next week. But if we're going to move in that, and it's certainly excellent to be praying when we can during the day, the odd moments in the day, when you're ironing, when you're driving your car, whatever it is. Obviously it's a good thing to pray in those moments. So, and we'll talk again more about that next week. Now, I want to say another thing. There was a Benedictine abbot who was well known as a spiritual director, Abbot Chapman, and he said, pray as you can and not as you can't. So you see, I'm giving suggestions, hints, things which may be helpful for people. But it's not a matter of, you know, Don Benedict said you have to pray like this, therefore I've got to pray like that. Pray as you can, not as you can't. The Holy Spirit leads each one of us in the life of prayer, and he leads each person in a different way. And he leads the same person in a different way at different times of their lives. So the important thing is that you follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. So pray as you can, as the Spirit allows you to pray, and don't try to pray as the Spirit's not allowing you to pray. So, you know, if some of the things I say, they may be helpful to one person, they may mean absolutely nothing to another person. Take what is helpful and, all right, leave the rest. But I would also say this, that all of us can learn something about prayer from the wider tradition, the wider Christian tradition. If the whole Christian tradition, you know, in time and space, says, you know, this is helpful, people, the Holy Spirit normally leads people to something in that sort of direction, then it's highly probable that's also relevant to us in one way or another. Now, about this daily prayer, the time we set aside for prayer, a word about place. It's obviously a privileged place to pray before the Blessed Sacrament, but that's not possible for everybody, it's not practical. Some people put aside a room in their homes as a sort of chapel, an increasing number of people are doing that, but again, that's not possible for everyone. Some people, you know, form a little chapel out of a corner of their room, where they have a crucifix and an icon and a statue of Our Lady and so on. Maybe that's the place where God is calling you to pray. Maybe just in your room in any case, but find a place where you can regularly pray, you know, which is, as far as possible, a quiet place. Another thing I talk about place and praying. Many people find the beauty of nature a great help to prayer. I do myself. This afternoon, in the midst of preparing these notes, I went out for a little walk, and I deliberately walked down streets where I knew there were gardens with crocuses in flower, and I praised God for the crocuses in flower, and I praised God with the crocuses in flower. And I myself often find that when I need to pray, I go for a long walk in the beautiful country, which thank God is fairly near us. And maybe the first part of the walk is just enjoying the walk and enjoying the sun and enjoying the beauty of nature. Then that can turn into prayer, and often deep prayer. And that may be a hint for some people. Many people may find the sort of the beauty of nature, the beauty of being out there, sort of uplifting us, because God does speak to us through the beauty of nature. You know, nature has been described as the book of God. God speaks to us through his book in nature. He speaks to us through the Bible, which is his word in another sense. In one way, for those who have eyes to see, the beauty of nature is also the book of God and can speak to us about God. And to put oneself in that setting can be a great help and support and encouragement and inspiration for prayer. Now a word about postures. Well, in general, be comfortable, be relaxed. You don't have to feel you've got to pray on your knees. I'm certainly not saying you shouldn't pray on your knees, but you know, some people, if you're praying on their knees, instead of thinking about God, they're thinking how their knees are hurting and how their back is aching. And that doesn't help prayer always. So in general, pray in a way you can be comfortable and relaxed and forget your body. Some people find sitting. For many people, sitting is possibly the best posture. Other people, cross-legged. Some people lying down, lying on the floor, lying on your bed, lying on your back, lying on your front. If lying on your bed sends you to sleep too quickly, well, that's not to be recommended perhaps in your case, or not always. But lying can be a very good relaxed posture for praying for many people. So be comfortable, find what in practice is, you know, the most helpful sort of posture and follow it. Now, there are also, obviously, you might say, three aspects of our prayer which ought to be there. The first is set prayers and devotions. Those would include the divine office and the liturgy we talked of, but it would include also other devotions, private devotions, prayers, which will be learned by heart or read. Then, that's one. The second division is spontaneous prayer for the Lord in our own words. And the third is silence. And I'm going to say a little about each of those three. Well, for set prayers, the Our Father obviously has a privileged position. You know, and I would trust that each one of us would want to say, probably several times in the day, the Our Father. It's the model of prayer which our Lord gave us. And may I make a suggestion that we don't say it too rapidly. And indeed, in general, for set prayers, say them slowly, meaningfully, and not too rapidly. You know, there does seem to be a certain sort of aberration among so many Catholics that we rattle off prayers. Somehow or other, we seem to think it's more worthwhile to say 10 Hail Marys and 10 Our Fathers with a great speed than to say two prayerfully. But one Our Father said prayerfully may be worth far more than 10 said rapidly. So in general, for set prayers, say them slowly and meaningfully, and don't rattle them off. Our Lord said this, we read in Matthew 6, and in praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. It's not in our multiplicity of words that we're going to be heard, it's more the quality of our prayer and our words. Now each person has to sort of use the devotions and prayers which they find God leading them to and which they find helpful. One person will find this private devotion helpful, another will find that, this form of devotion that. For instance, the way of the cross. It may be litanies. I like the litany of Our Lady myself. Or other devotions and prayers. You know, you can find them in a prayer book. There's a very good new prayer book out, The Treasury of the Holy Spirit by Monsignor Michael Buckley, which I recommend to Catholics. You know, you might like to read through that and find prayers which you find, see prayers which you find helpful for you. And what is the right prayer for you won't be the right person for your prayer for the person on your right, and vice versa. But I would warn against the danger of having too many special devotions. Quality, not quantity. Some Catholics are in danger of trying so many private devotions, one thing after the other, adding one to the other, that the life becomes a sort of desperate effort to sort of catch up with these devotions they've got to say, which are said normally too rapidly without sufficient attention. So don't overdo this aspect of private devotions. The important thing is praying, not saying prayers. Some people seem to stress saying prayers rather than praying, but what counts is prayer. And, you know, that's what Jesus is really going to see, prayer rather than saying the multiplicity of prayers. Now, obviously, when we consider sort of set prayers and devotions, we think of the rosary. And I want to say this, that I do consider that for a Roman Catholic, for a Catholic, devotion to Our Lady is important. The Lord may give some people a very special devotion to Our Lady and others less, but we should all have a sincere and deep and real devotion to Our Lady. I know there are many wonderful Christians in other churches who don't ask Our Lady to pray for them. Of course, praying to Jesus, praying to the Father and the Spirit is much more important than praying to Our Lady. But nevertheless, for a Catholic, you know, it's normal that we have or seek to have a deep devotion to Our Lady. And a great many people find that devotion to Our Lady greatly helped, perhaps centered on, the rosary. And the Church has recommended the rosary, and Our Lady herself in her apparitions in recent times has been recommending the rosary, and so obviously we should try that. But not everybody finds the rosary easy. You see, not everybody finds easy the form of prayer where you're saying one thing and thinking about another. For people who don't find the rosary easily, I might suggest, well, try saying one decade of the rosary. Somebody who finds five decades difficult, well, try one. And in any case, one decade of the rosary said slowly and prayerfully may be much more valuable than five decades rattled off. But the rosary is not the only form of devotion to Our Lady, and I think there's a certain danger among us Western Catholics to sort of equate the rosary and devotion to Our Lady, so that if somebody doesn't say the rosary, or not often, well, they haven't got devotion to Our Lady, and if they do, well, that's it. There are other forms of devotion to Our Lady, and it's interesting to remember that Roman Catholics of the Byzantine and other Eastern rites, who have not less devotion to Our Lady than we have, don't say the rosary. They have their own devotions, their own liturgical hymns, which are very beautiful and very deep. So don't let's forget, the rosary is not the only devotion to Our Lady. Many find it helpful to say every day the Angelus three times. I've mentioned the litany of Our Lady, which I find helpful. And a practice I find very helpful is praying before an icon of Our Lady. I do say the rosary, but I find particularly helpful praying, speaking to an icon, speaking to Our Lady before an icon of Our Lady. Every day I pray for this prayer group, asking Our Lady to pray for us. And so I would recommend that to people. Perhaps buy one of these icons of Our Lady, or if you prefer a statue, and just speak to her as to a spiritual mother in a perfectly natural way. Just speak to her in that way. You know, there's something, we should be able to do that in an absolutely sort of normal way. Just as you speak to your own human mother, speak to your spiritual mother. Just speak to her.
Please turn the cassette over now.
Speak to your spiritual mother. Just speak to her. And having talked about Our Lady, I want to say, to fit in here, a few words about praying for the departed and praying to the saints. I mean, it is our Catholic tradition to pray and ask the saints to pray for us and to pray for that the souls of the departed may rest in peace. And that links up with our doctrine of the communion of saints. We are still united with the saints in the body of Christ. We're still united with the departed. We can ask them to pray for us. We can pray for them. And it is a good thing to have devotion to the saints. And it's a good thing to ask the saints to pray for us. One thing I'd say is this. So I would suggest don't limit yourself to canonized saints. You see, the Church, in its wisdom led by the Spirit, has canonized a relatively very small number of people. But thank God there are millions of saints up there. So you see, if you're thinking of asking a martyr to pray for you, well, don't only ask that martyr who died in the 3rd century in Rome, whose name we know, who's canonized, but what about perhaps the 20 martyrs who died for the faith last week? They're not less martyrs. Nobody knows their names. You know, this century has been described, there have been more Christian martyrs in this century, it seems, than in the whole of the history of the Church before. They're up there. We can ask them to pray for us. So I like to pray, perhaps if I mention a particular name of a martyr, I say, and all you other martyrs. I pray for particular, when I ask St. Benedict to pray for him, I say, and all the other holy Benedictines in heaven. Let's call upon the whole host above to pray for us, not just a few names of those who've been canonized. And I think another thing I'd like to say. Sometimes, you know, Catholics wonder whether for people they've known, maybe their own ancestors, relatives, or friends who've departed, should I pray for the repose of their soul, or should I ask them to pray for me? And I think the answer is very often both. Both. Every day I pray that all the departed members of my family may rest in peace, and since I'm the only Catholic in my family, that may surprise them a bit, but anyhow, they understand those things now. But I ask them to pray for me and to pray for us. And I think it's a good thing to do, to pray both ways. And you know, pray for good people you've known who departed this life. You may have known, you might have had known a holy priest, or a good sister, or a good Catholic, a pious neighbor, who's left this life. Well, you can ask them to pray for you, as well as praying for the repose of their soul. But about this devotion to the saints, avoid exaggerations. Avoid exaggerations. I must admit, when I lose something, I ask Jesus to help me find it. And in fact, that seems to work. Now, I'm not saying anybody shouldn't pray St. Anthony if they feel called to do so, but surely it's above all Jesus who answers our prayer. If a case is desperate, well, I'm not saying somebody shouldn't offer to pray to St. Jude if they feel called to do so. But above all, pray to Jesus. We have a Jesus is our Saviour. Jesus supplies our needs. And you know, there can be a certain sort of superstition. Well, only this saint can give that, and only that saint can give another, and this is the, you know, the secret. But the great secret is Jesus. And another thing I'll say about, to avoid exaggeration, is that, I mean, let's always get the great thrust and priority of our prayers to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I get worried when somebody prays too much time to the saints as opposed to praying to God and Jesus. I get worried if somebody's praying, I'm not really happy if somebody prays much more to Our Lady than they do to Jesus. I don't think Our Lady is happy. I think Our Lady wants us to focus on her Son, not on her. So let's avoid exaggerations. Now, a few words about informal prayer. It's a pity when Christians can only pray to God in set prayers. You know, we should be able to speak to God as we speak to our earthly Father. You know, just speak quite naturally, God, thank you for this. Lord, help me. God, my Father, help you with that. Or speak to Jesus in the same way, or speak to the Spirit. Just speak naturally. Speak in your own words. You know, your prayers are not going to be answered on account of their literary excellence or the excellence of your accent. They're going to be answered in connection with the faith, hope, and love there. So just speak. God understands. You know, you don't have difficulty in talking to your heavenly Father, your earthly brother. So why to our brother Jesus, to our heavenly Father? Speak out. Speak in your own words. Don't be nervous. There's something missing, I feel, if we're not able to do that. And do that when you're praying alone with God. And of course, we should be able to do it when we're praying in a group. Now for the third area I thought about, silence. Prayer is meant to be a dialogue with God and not a monologue. And the boy Samuel said, speak, Lord, your servant heareth. And for most of us, much of the time, it's only one thing, listen, Lord, your servant speaketh. And poor God has a great deal of difficulty in getting a word in edgewise. So be still and know that I am God, Psalm 46:47, and learn to rest in his presence, to rest in his presence, not to be restless when we're praying, not to be feeling we've always got to be doing something. Rest in his presence. And that moves in the direction of contemplation, and I shall be talking a bit about contemplation, I hope, in a fortnight's time in the last of these talks. I think a very privileged moment, surely, for silence in prayer is after communion. Not just words, fixed words, even our own words, but just to rest in silence with the Lord whom we've just received. And I suggest too that it can be good to have periods of silence between set prayers. Right, you've got some set prayers, right, it can be good to say them, but why not have moments of silence between them? And give enough time to silence in your prayer. That is probably an element which is the most missing. Give enough time to silence. And enough time means more than a couple of minutes. You know, I think we ought to be able to spend, well, half an hour or more in silence with the Lord, happily, peacefully, growing closer to him as we rest in silence with him. Now, I would like to suggest that our daily prayer should include, in one way or another, the following five elements. Repentance, offering, listening, asking, praise. And I'm going to say a word about each of these. I'm not suggesting that our prayer needs to be necessarily in that order. I think it's good to start with praise and to finish with praise. And I'm not saying that we should have a sort of equal time each day for each one. So if we've got 50 minutes, you know, 10 minutes for one, 10 minutes for the other. What I think we find is this. That on a particular day, the Spirit will, so to speak, major on one of these. And so that's the one we should follow. I find myself, right, one day I might start off with a prayer of repentance, and that's all right, but I'm not particularly led on in that direction, and then I might go to offering to God, and then perhaps asking God for things, and then praise, and then, but one of those the Lord may suddenly major in on. It really comes alive. You feel the Spirit sort of leading you in that way. Well, then go on in that one. So, you know, one day it might be nearly all on one of those five and not much on the others. That's all right, if that's how the Spirit's leading you. Follow the leading of the Spirit. Pray as you can and not as you can't. Pray as it flows. Don't try and pray against the flow of the Spirit. Now a few words about repentance, and they're going to be very few words. Original sin goes very deep in each one of us, so we're all called to daily repentance, and we're all called to increasing repentance in this life, an ever deeper repentance. I don't mean getting more and more tied up about sins which have been forgiven, but we need to go on repenting about that lack of faith, hope, and love and humility of today. The saints are people who grow in the life of repentance. And we're called to grow too. I think Psalm 51:50, I give the double numbering because there are two numberings of these psalms, and I'll just read from that the first part. Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy steadfast love. According to thy abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done that which is evil in thy sight, so that thou art justified in thy sentence, and blameless in thy judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward being, therefore teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. It goes on later, create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. And then still later, the sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise.